was pulled pork.
Yeah, cool.
But it had bacon in it too. Bacon, pulled pork.
Bit of piggy mystery burger.
I wonder, you know, two wonderful animals should be from the same animal.
So it's a magical animal.
It's a magical thing.
Oh, hi.
I didn't see you there. Hello and welcome to the Super Fun Awesome Happy Time Pedal Show podcast.
Hey, folks.
That's a mouthful.
So, if you've accidentally tuned into our podcast, we'd like to sincerely apologise.
Yes.
For wasting your time.
Yes, sorry.
Hope everyone's well and...
Stuff.
Yeah. So we're just hanging out in my studio in the control room. We've just done some videos this morning.
Yes.
And what do? We did the Electro-Harmonics Pulsar.
Yes.
Here it is. Here. This is the big old one.
If you have your spy cameras installed in this room, you can see it now.
Yeah. This is like the big old...
ye olde Electro-Harmonics.
Big muff style housing.
Yeah.
With the button that goes out like that.
Wow.
That makes noise because it's empty.
Yeah.
I guess. It's so cool. I asked you to bring this because I've never actually played one.
Hmm.
And it's lovely sound.
It's a great sounding trend.
Yeah.
Electro-harmonic stuff is always good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's always nice.
And, just so simple. Rate, depth, and the shape. Control.
Hmm.
The other thing we did this morning was the Shift Daddy from Down Electro, which is the big car-looking rocker pedal.
Yes.
When I say rocker, I mean rocker.
Rock and roller.
Rock and roller.
It looks like a car. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's right.
It's definitely one of those ones that looks better than really what it sounds, but it sounded all right too.
Definitely, it's like I was saying, it's really an effect thing. Like, put it on for like a silly effect. Not silly effect, but really over-the-top effect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a... You know what? I would really like a subtle slapback echo.
Yeah.
And I don't have a Bixby, so I'd like something that bends the pitch really nice.
I'd like
just use it whenever I feel like it. It's really just I want to use the Shift Daddy.
Out of the way, I'm using the Shift Daddy. I'm going to put a car-shaped thing on my pedal where it takes up half the room.
Yeah.
Of the pedal. So, that's fun. It's just the blue one. It's not the crazy...
Not the flames.
Flame one, unfortunately.
And not the leopard print. Wow.
Yeah.
But I think you're going to have to get one of them just because it's leopard print and it looks like a car.
Because, yeah. And,
so what else is new with you, Alex, other than the Shift Daddy?
Well, we haven't done much for a while because you've been overseas.
I've been away, yeah.
In Europe. And, so I finished
the final countdown reunion tour.
Yeah.
Hey.
80s reference there.
Yeah.
I finished the studio, so that's all cool.
Paperbark Studio.
Yeah.
Check it out on the Book of Face.
Internet.
I mean, Facebook.
And started doing a couple of sessions. I got some really cool guitar sounds the other day. Oh. I told you. I was recording acoustic guitar, and is it Sennheiser 421, the big blimpy-looking dynamic one?
Yes.
The other one? Cool. And I used that on acoustic guitar instead of a condenser. However, I pulled it back maybe almost a metre. And I slammed it with compression.
Oh.
And it's a really cool sound.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
You learn something new every day.
Yeah, we just wanted to get acoustic guitar sound that wasn't run of the mill.
Just something different.
Everyday pretty guitar sound. Yeah.
That's a good way to attitude.
Yeah, that was fun. So been doing some studio things. And yeah.
Yeah.
We did two demos yesterday too.
Yeah, we did some demos yesterday.
G777 from Green Child Amplification. This came to us from America.
Yes, thank you, Mason, if you're listening. And dual overdrive. Sort of boosty overdrive-y kind of thing.
Definitely in the dirty boost mild overdrive land.
Yeah. Interesting sounds though. Definitely good variety of sounds.
Mm.
And one of those pedals that any doesn't matter where you put the knobs, it all kind of sounds good.
Yeah. I was really impressed with all the EQ controls. There's a tilt and focus and mid. And the mid is really great. I put the mid all the way up and maxed it out, and it sounded good.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's any setting. It doesn't go over the top.
Mm. So that's ace,
which is nice and looks kind of cool too.
What else did we do yesterday?
Yesterday we did that, and we did the amp, the Hughes and Kettner amp.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That's one of my new acquisitions, the Hughes and Kettner Tubemeister Deluxe 20.
With neon blue facing.
Yeah, which is cool. I like it.
Yeah, cool.
It's a nice little lamp.
Because you've been using it live with the speaker emulation on the back, the red boxy thing.
Yeah, I've become one of those people who's sick of lugging amps around, because half of the time I have to lug PAs around as well.
Yeah.
And I'm getting old, you know. Us old people with bad backs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And excuse me.
Too many cigarettes for lunch, eh?
Yeah. I don't smoke them, I just eat them. No, I'm just over lugging amps around. I have big, heavy amps that most venues around here, this is on the Sunshine Coast in Australia, Queensland, Australia, you can't turn up past the first audible sound.
Yeah.
You know, you go, nothing, sound, ooh, a little bit too loud. So you can't really turn it up anyway. So I've kind of given up on lugging amps around. And for ages, I used the Flyrig, Tech21 Flyrig, which I thought was great. Inexpensive, great little thing. I plug my pedal board into it, and it actually sounded really cool. The only thing is it didn't quite react like an amp.
Mm.
So when you run a boost into it, or if you run a distortion into it, it acts like another distortion pedal.
Sure.
So it's, instead of when you run a boost into an amp, if you have enough headroom on the amp, you just go louder.
Yeah, sure.
Which is the way I use boosts usually. Whereas with the Flyrig, if you run a boost into the Flyrig, it reacts like an overdrive pedal.
Then
you run a boost into it, so you get more gain rather than more volume.
Yeah, sure.
So you had to kind of readjust, but other than that, I think it was great.
Mm.
But now, yeah, I thought I saw a couple of videos. Actually, probably more than anything else, the Henning, our German friend Henning Pauli, HP42.
Yes, H phonetic.
German phonetic spelling of HP42, EYTSCH, I think.
Yeah.
You'd
know better than me.
Yeah, something like that. He did a couple of demos in January or February when that was released worldwide with
worldwide,
air quotes, worldwide released, except for Australia when it...
Which is 6 months behind everything else.
Almost 10 months.
Well, yeah.
I mean, it's October and it only just... Late September, it only just got to Australia.
Thanks, distribution.
Because apparently I got one of the first in the country, which is, you know, fantastic. But yeah,
it's number one in Australia, but about
425,719 worldwide. I watched those demos he did, and I thought it sounded really good.
Hmm.
And a direct out, it's got the Hughes and Kettner Red Box. If people aren't familiar with the Red Box, you can buy it as a standalone thing as well.
Yeah, it's basically like a size.
Yeah, it's a DI type thing, but it's speaker emulation. Mm. So you can run like a preamp pedal or something into it, and that kind of emulates speakers.
Yeah, great.
So it's got that in the back, but the new Red Box where you can choose between a modern or a vintage cabinet, which is a bit tighter, I guess, the modern, bit more mid-rangey, the vintage. You can choose between a large 4x12 cab or a smaller single speaker. Doesn't say if it's a 1x12, but a smaller single speaker cab.
Yep.
That sort of stuff. And I actually really quite like it.
Yeah, cool.
And it reacts like an amp because you still go through the preamp section of the amp.
Still is an amp.
So it still is an amp. Yeah. And you've got a power soak on the back where you can completely turn the power off. So you don't have to have a speaker hooked up to it. There's no load issues. So yes, life. I've been using it now with my electric setup and just running my board into it, and it reacts more like an amp, and it sounds really good. And for live, it's one of those things. I mean, people are so anally retentive about this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But you're at a venue, the sound is usually crap anyway, because the venue, most venues aren't built for sound.
Yeah.
They're built for people sitting there and drinking lots of booze, not for the sound. So, yeah. You know, I mean, when we did the demo, it does sound better through a speaker.
Yeah, but that's in a control room in a studio.
Yeah. In a live environment, it's I think it sounds great.
Yeah, it's cool.
I was really happy with it.
Mm.
And it looks cool.
Yeah.
That blue Miami Vice style, you know, fluorescent writing. I think it's great.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Nice one. So that was yesterday.
That was yesterday, and then yeah, today we did the Pulsar and the Shift Daddy.
Excellent. We just went and grabbed some lunch because we were hungry. So we had this big conversation.
Funny concert.
Yeah. I had a big conversation about compressor pedals and about blend knobs on compressor pedals.
Well, I personally, I'm one of those people.
Yeah.
I like a compressor when it doesn't sound like a compressor.
Mm. Which was...
was kind of odd, I know.
Confusing at first, but...
But, I like it when it gives you... it gives you sustain without the grab.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like a compressor, but you get that sustain. And I quite like it when you have... when you can adjust EQ a little bit on the compressor and it gives you a bit extra top end.
Because you got the Strymon at the moment, eh?
Well, at the moment I use the Strymon OB-1... Kenobi. Got to do that every time. The Strymon OB-1. And one of the reasons I like it is that it's a more subtle compressor.
Hmm.
It doesn't feel or sound like a compressor, but it is a compressor. Yep. And you've got a boost on it as well, which means you can add a bit of sparkle, Mr. Sparkle, to your sound. I like that.
You're cool. That's an optical compressor. So... it does act differently to like a FET type thing or like, things like that are now emulating things like 1176s, like Kelly 76 and faster, grabbier type compressors.
Yes.
So the typical kind of studio variant of the opposite one is the LA-2A.
Aha.
So.
Which we're looking at right now.
Yeah, which is... got one in the rack here.
Teletronics.
Yeah. So it's kind of that kind of thing in the studio environment you use on like things like bass guitar, acoustic instruments, definitely vocals. Because it has that almost like that. I don't want to use the word transparent, but doesn't feel like it.
Transparency?
Yeah. Translucent.
Translucent.
Compression. So, that makes sense when you're. That's why you like the Strymon one, because it's an optical compressor like this.
Yeah.
That's not so grabby and
it's
audible.
It's that you can hear it. You listen to any country music stuff.
Yeah.
And you can hear it, and I just don't like that.
The spank.
Where it really grabs your note, and I just don't like that. I like it on acoustic or electric guitar. I like more, I think I need to have, and I think that's what we... concluded in the end.
Yeah.
That I like my compressors where you have still lots of dynamic range when you're playing. So you can play softer, you can play louder.
That's why I talk about having the blend knob. So
I think the blend knob is great on a compressor. I think it's very important on a compressor. I think it's a very important thing to have. Unless you're playing country music. But even if you're playing country music.
Or stuff like funky... like
stuff,
funky stuff. It's more like an effect than just a tonal tool. Yeah, but I guess that's with the country chicken picking thing. It's almost like an effect itself.
Yeah.
Not just a tonal building block.
No.
So
tell us about what kind of compression you like, Alex.
Good ones.
Yeah. Well, thanks for listening, and you've heard it here first.
At the moment, I've got Analog Man 1. Wherever it is, somewhere. I think it's on the shelves over there. Yeah, which is really cool, because it's kind of a little bit in that two-knob land. Like,
is it the one that has the two different compressors in it?
No, it's just the one.
Just the one. Is it the Comp Ross?
I think it might be the Ross one.
Okay, we're getting
do we have a look? I'll have a look.
So it's just we're on our own now. It's just you guys and me. So he's outside. So we can talk about him. He's a bit smelly at times, but you know, he's a lovely fella. But you know, anyway, he's back here. Wow. Didn't talk about him at all.
Oh, it's called, just called the small comp.
Ah, the small comp, okay.
Which is actually quite big.
It's quite big, but it's small. Well, it's maybe just a small amount of compression.
Well, let's have a look. I don't know if I've actually looked in the paperwork with it.
It sounded good.
Oh, my God.
Well, I think it was clipping when I was doing it. Yeah, it's clipping.
Yeah.
Sorry about the
clipping. Oh, okay. Yeah. So the analog one is similar to the MXR Dyna comp, but Ross improved the circuit.
The comp Rosser, yeah.
To make the sustain more solid, less wavering, and C6 sounding. Blah, 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 new old something, blah, blah, blah. Cool. Yeah, it's just a sustain and level controls.
And it's grey.
So, yeah.
It's sparkery grey.
Sparkery. But I kind of like this one at the moment. I do have on my other board, where is it? A EBS multi-comp, which is actually a bass compressor.
But well, you do play bass too.
But I didn't really like it on bass. I thought it kind of sucked the tone a bit. But on guitar, I really like it.
Maybe you need... Is that an optical or...?
Yeah, it's actually got a few different settings. It's got a tube setting. And there's a multi-band setting and then a normal single band.
And what do you... Which one?
I use a tube one.
Tube?
Called Tubism? Yeah, Tubism, which I don't think is a word in English.
Well, it's tube with an ism. Anything is better with an ism.
Yeah, is it?
Isn't it? bad jokes. Yeah, so compression, it's a funny one. It's
just so individual.
It's like, you know, and we were saying so many people rave about, for example, the Boss.
Yeah.
What is it? CS2 and CS3? Is that what they are?
Compressor sustainer.
CS, yeah. So lots of people rave about them. And so what are they? Are they optical? Or let's have a look.
I don't know.
So you talk to them while I do... excellent. I just had a notification, not that anyone cares, that... I bought something with PayPal, which was my lovely wife. Thank you for spending the money.
Hi, Sarah.
Where was I? Yeah. Boss. This is riveting listening, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Compress.
I hope you're all sitting down while you're listening to this.
Boss compressor. Here we go. The CS3... It compresses louder signals while boosting lower signals.
No way. Yeah. So basically the definition of a compressor.
Yes. Specs.
Yeah.
It is a... It doesn't say. There's probably people going, oh, you douchebags, it's a... it just says compact compressor sustainer pedal with high quality circuitry. Onboard level tone, attack, and sustain controls for precise tonal shaping. Low noise designed for super quiet operation. 5-year warranty. That's all it really says. So I'm not quite sure what it is, but lots of people rave about that one, actually.
Yeah.
And that's a very cheap, inexpensive, cheap and inexpensive.
Double.
Yeah.
There are... Especially... Oh, just put my feet up. Don't mind me. There are a lot of great sounding pedals that don't cost $500 each.
I just thought of, because I used to always on acoustic especially, but on electric I used to as well. I used to use the Sonic Maximizer, BBE Sonic Maximizer.
Now,
is that a compressor?
No, I think it's like an EQ type thing.
So it doesn't do any compressing or limiting or anything like that.
I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure it's mostly EQ.
Mostly EQ. Because on acoustic, that was great. I always used to like that on acoustic.
Yeah, you get the sparkly top end. And
sparkly.
Just the sparkle.
And it gives you... I always found it gives you almost like surround sound.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got one. I used to have it on PA for a while. And, yeah, it's... I think it... by getting that lovely sparkle, I think you end up losing a lot of mid-range.
Oh, okay.
Which you kind of
need most of the time.
Yeah, but a little bit's good because with acoustic guitars, they sound nice and big and epic.
True.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, I used to use it on my acoustic all the time, and I used to have it on my electric rig as well. I used to have a half rack.
Did you?
For my electric. Those were the days when I used to have a power amp.
Ah.
And that sort of
shenanigans. Do you still have that Roland rack mount guitar unit?
Yeah. The old one, the whatever it is. The
GP8 or something?
Yeah, something like that.
I don't know. Making up numbers. Yeah, we should have...
Yeah, well, something like that.
We should pull that out and have a demo.
Yeah, I've still got that. That's sitting somewhere in my shed.
Yeah, sure.
But yeah, no, that's definitely still there. I also used to have... But I lent that to a friend and never got it back. A Rocktron half rack preamp.
Okay.
Old blue Rocktron preamp, and I think it was a graphic EQ half rack as well.
Yeah.
Because I used to, for a little while, use that with a power amp.
Yeah, right. Into a quad box or something.
Into a quad box as my dirty amp, and then I had my Fender, which I still have, the old. Hot Rod DeVille
4x10.
That was my clean amp. Gotcha. Before that, I had a Princeton Reverb.
Oh, nice.
But that it broke up too early. It wasn't quite loud enough.
Yeah.
So I wanted something bigger, so I got rid of that. And before that, I had a Twin Reverb, but that you need...
It's the opposite.
You need a bunch of slaves to carry it up and downstairs for you.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're ridiculously heavy. But I lent that to a friend and I never got it back. And I don't know, and he lives overseas now, so God knows what happened to that.
Did you ever get into that stuff? I never had any, but like, I think it was Randall did like the modular
preamp
thing.
Yeah. I never had that, but I've known people that got that. Where you can choose what preamp you want.
I think Engel made some, and
you could have something like four different preamps or something like that.
Yeah, right.
In one.
Yep.
And then, so you can choose whether you want that more Vox sort of sound, a Fender sort of sound, Marshall sort of sound.
If anyone's listening and they have access to the internet.
Hello.
Hello. Michael Wagner is obviously very well known for pulling big rock and roll guitar sounds over the years. There's a studio tour of his studio in the States, and he has like a lot of that preamp stuff in his racks in his studio.
Is that on that Produce Like a Pro thing recently? Was that?
No.
Was it a different thing?
No, it's an older video, maybe a few years old now.
Oh, okay.
Michael Wagner did a lot of big rock stuff, 80s and 90s. And he just has this great setup of whole bunch of heads and preamps and stuff, and then all in a patch bay, and then straight into a bunch of Marshall cabs in his live room, or all mic'd up. So you just patch, bang, 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 bang. I want this head. Oh, no, that doesn't work for this song. Swap it over.
Have you seen that? That was actually going back to Henning, HP 40, 42, 43, whatever it is. He just did a couple of videos at a music shop in Germany.
Yeah, so.
Where they have something like 40 different heads,
yeah,
that all go through this patch bay into like 20 different quad boxes, and you can via a remote thing that you plug your guitar into the remote thing, and you go, I want head number 22 going into speaker cabinet number 14,
yeah,
and it does it
instantly.
How good is that?
It was like, you know, when you put numbers into like a vending machine,
yeah, it's kind of like that.
It's like that. That was,
how cool is that? I mean, for a studio situation too, how cool would that be?
You've
got a bunch of speakers in your you know, live room or whatever it is, or you know, wherever they are, all mic'd up, all ready to go.
Yep.
And you have a whole bunch of heads, and you just go, oh, I want that head into that. Let's see what that sounds like. Don't like that speaker, try the other speaker.
Yep. So cool.
How cool would that be without plugging anything?
It's very cool.
Without even patch bays.
Yeah, yeah, true.
Because you're all pre-patched.
It's all electronic-y, yeah. Switched. Mm.
And it keeps all the... It automatically... if there's any kind of mismatch in ohmage, it automatically corrects it for you and all that stuff. Oh, really?
That's cool. I never thought of that.
It's
16-ohm quad box versus a...
Yeah, it automatically does it.
Yeah, right.
And it keeps everything safe. So it does... So if you have all the heads plugged into it, they're all, you can have them all on, and it all...
Oh, it loads up.
It all loads. It holds a load. But you know what I mean. So you don't do any damage.
It was always on time.
Hold the load.
Yeah,
how cool is that? I mean, that's a different note. I just remember that's a similar sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah. That's actually quite a bit of engineering on it, isn't it?
Hmm.
A lot of thought.
Well, this is, I think it's like a rack, single rack space thing that you can have.
And then daisy chain them off to get all the...
Yeah, channels. Yeah. So you can have...
yeah, it's worth checking out the video.
Eight heads and eight speakers per rack mount thing.
Yep.
But then I think you can with like a...
Ethernet type
cable. Yeah. You can hook them all up together.
Mm.
So you can have... And I think they had something like...
It was a lot.
10 of them or something like that. Or I don't know. It was some ridiculous amount of them.
9 or 10, I think, yeah.
And all the heads in the amp room, every single head in there, was plugged into a speaker of some sort.
Yeah, that's very cool. I think I said to you, it's such a good idea for the shop to do that, because I'm sure they sell a lot of amps, because someone can go, oh, I like this Friedman with that box, and I really, really like that sound now. I'm going to put on lay-by or buy it on credit card.
Instead of going, oh, can I try that head with that quad box? And then 2 hours later, after you've dug the quad box out from underneath all the other, you know.
Yeah, and some other guy in the shop's repatched everything without telling you.
Yeah, that's great. That's different, you know. That was something completely different, but...
It's very cool.
So check out, HP 42, 43, whatever it is.
42?
E-Y-T-S-C-H, I'm pretty sure it is.
Yeah.
P-double-E, maybe P? Or P-I, maybe P? E-Y-T-S-C-H-P-I?
Sure, why not?
32, I'm going to say.
I think it's 42.
Was it 42? I'm going to check it out now. He does some great stuff anyway, so always worthwhile checking out. Where is he? So what else is new with you, Alex, while I'm looking this up?
Speaking of recording guitars and things, I've set up this my speaker cab, which is a single 12 greenback in the little amp room in my studio.
Gimp room, I mean amp room.
Yeah, gimp room. And with the gimp, I mean amp. I've just got a couple of Stereotone heads, which are really great. I really like them. One's a little dumble thing. And
Doomble.
The other one's a kind of matchless clone, which is a 15-watt head. It's called the Creme Brûlée. Now, yeah, I've just patched them in through speaker line. I've ran in the wall. And I've mic'd up with two mics, which is coming back through two channels on the console. So I can blend the two mics depending on the song.
Oh.
So I've got a 57 and a condenser, and I had to make sure they're in phase, blah, blah, blah. But the other thing I've done, I've got a Strymon Deco into effects loop of the console. So what I can do is send some signal from one of the mic channels through the delay, get some taper delay. And there's this trick that old dub reggae engineers used to do to get like space echoes to self-oscillate, is the channel that the effect comes back through, you send it back into itself. So you create a loop in the channel. And that means I can get more delay repeats, and it'll eventually go into self-oscillation from the deco, which only has three repeats at the most. So that's fun.
That's cool. Yeah, it sounds really good. Yeah. Oh, and for whoever cares, it's E-Y-T-S-C-H-P-I 42. It is 42. Ah. H-P 42.
Yeah.
It's a German phonetic writing of H-P, I guess, Henning Pauli 42. Okay, yeah, no, but it does sound really good. It does sound great, and it does make a difference having more repeats on it too.
Yeah,
because it's usually only because it emulates two heads.
Yeah.
So you can either have the shorter head or the longer head, or then you have the third repeat because you have the second head delaying. So it's a delay of the first delay.
Yeah.
So you've got the first delay, second delay,
and delay.
But then you have the delay of the delay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And the next thing I want to do, I haven't maybe do this week, but I want to set it up because the Strum and Deco actually sounds great in stereo.
Ah.
So I want to.
We're under two channel.
Come back in two channels. I've got 32 channel consoles, so heaps of room. So I think I might do that this week.
And then well, there you go.
Still have, like, send back the two microphones to a mono channel, but then have the effects of stereo.
Ah.
Yeah.
Modern technology, hey?
Well, not really. tape delays for the 60s.
60s technology, eh?
50s, maybe?
Yeah, probably
50s.
Even earlier.
Yeah, probably.
Well, there you go. All
right.
That's pretty cool, yeah.
Yeah. If you haven't got a Deco, go and get one, because they're great, and they can do lots of things.
Lots of people sort of, when it first came out, but all, ooh, ah, and then it kind of disappeared.
Yeah, because you can do, like, this cool crunchy thing with the boost channel, like, get that, is it Revolver, the Beatles that are...
Well, they're plugged straight into the desk, didn't they?
Console distortion.
Yeah.
It can do that. It can do doubling effects. It can do take flanging time effects.
Flanger.
Flanger.
Flanging it. Tape flanging.
And then gets into longer doubling and slapback delays.
That's pretty cool. I like the Deco.
Yeah.
Deco, good.
Super good. Unique. Too.
Good.
Good for pulling different sounds.
Yeah.
All
right. Just get a Deco.
Get a Deco.
Okay, hang on, just wait a minute. All right, they're all back. They just got their Decos.
Yeah, yeah. Just back from eBay. Yeah, super cool. Yeah, like, there's obviously some Strymon stuff that's gone nuts, like the
Timeline
and the LCAP stand.
Big Sky.
Yeah, but the other ones are great too, like, obviously well, the like, Flint's amazing.
I like the compressor, the Obi-Wan. Yeah.
Kenobi.
Yeah. Every
yeah.
time. One day it won't be funny.
Not today.
Not today.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Flint's great. Not that I use it very often, but Lex is a really good...
forgot about that.
Rotary emulator.
Mm. Want to try the...
The LCAP is great, LCAP is 10.
Not new anymore, but newish electroharmonics rotary ones. You know the
What is it called?
There's a big one, a little one.
The one where Mike Matthews played piano and smoked a cigar. Yeah. The cigar looked really happy. That was
what
a cool video.
What a legend.
Isn't it just called Leslie or something like that? Or Les? Les.
Yeah, yeah. See it.
The Les, I think it is. Yeah.
So, I don't know. Not that I'd probably use much of that. That kind of thing.
No, I'm not a big user of it either. I just...
You know what I wanted to get is a good vibe pedal.
Vibe? As in vibe as in Univibe?
Univibe, yeah.
Yeah, what was the one? There was one that I saw some not long ago and it sounded really good. It was some brand I never heard of before.
Okay. Good story.
Good story, yeah. Check that one out.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Brett Kingman did a demo of it recently.
Okay.
And it sounded really, really good.
Yeah.
For like Univibe sound.
And the two modulations that I want to get are Vibe and a good vibrato.
Well, vibrato, I still think that the Boss Wazzacraft is great.
Yeah.
And still, I reckon one of my favourite pedals, the Allplot Noise Reflector.
True.
Which is sort of a chorus vibrato kind of flangery kind of bit of everything kind of filter sort of kind of
gypsy
pedal.
Gypsy magic.
Gypsy black magic pedal. It's a weird one, but it's nice. I like it.
Yeah, cool.
It's got nice vibrato on it. But the Boss, I think, sounds really good.
Cool.
I'm a fan. I used a... Just because I on my pedal board. I don't actually have it on there at the moment, the Boss, but I use the H9 a bit.
Oh yeah.
And I mean, that's good for it. That's all the sounds in that are good, and I quite like the vibrato on that too,
especially live, because the sounds are good. The pedal itself is fairly compact.
Yeah.
And all those kind of pedals, like live, you're not going to use the same thing on at the same time.
No.
Like, you just have one pedal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could have multiple modulation pedals on at once.
Yeah. Cool. Well, what else is coming up? We've got to do our Line 6 filter shootout.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about that one for a while, because you've got a... You've got the rack mount version of the Filter Pro. The Filter Pro. I've got the Filter 4-button one. The, what is it? F. Is that the FM4? Is that what it's called?
I don't know.
The purple 4-button one. Is what it FM4? Maybe FM4. Just to see what the difference is. Because as far as I know, they're meant to be exactly the same.
Yeah. All right. Could be different.
So we'll find out. That's coming up. We've got. What else? Do we have in the pipelines? I think sooner or later for the Maluba Music Channel, we're going to do the Boss Katana amps.
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
That's I'm quite interested to see that and hear that.
They're also talking about doing the bunch of the like SE PRS guitars.
Well, yeah, they've got the whole SE range in now. A lot of the SE range now, so we might be doing a whole bunch of those just to see what they're like. So that's going to be interesting. There's always something interesting there.
How's your is it 62 Jag? 62.
Oh yeah, so that's one of my new things, I guess. It's not that new anymore, but it sort of was new before I went overseas.
So that was like one of your bucket list guitars, eh?
That was a bucket list, yeah. That was so 62, cool. That's the year they started making Jaguars.
That's it's a great guitar.
And it's been refinished and refretted.
Yep.
But, I mean, I want to use it. I don't want to hang it up somewhere and have it all original. And because I want to use it as well, I got rid of the bridge and the trem and put a mastery bridge and a mastery trem on it.
Yep.
Which I can hear a lot of people going, you can't change it. You've got to keep it original. That's what I mean. It doesn't make a difference. You just...
It's already been repainted.
You put a different bridge in it.
Yeah.
You don't have to... You're not drilling any holes.
It's not a Floyd Rose.
It's not a Floyd. And yeah, I'm not routering pockets out of the guitar.
Totally.
And same with the trem. I still got the original trem.
Put it back to...
You just put the other one back in. But I want to use it, you know? I want to play it live. And, but yeah, it's a great guitar. I always wanted to... I love Jazz Masters. If you... do watch our videos, you probably notice that I always play a Jazzmaster. And I just always liked the look, but originally what got me into these guitars, into what you would call offsets nowadays, was Jaguars. That's sort of when I first got into what they looked like. It was through bands like Nirvana, and he had a Kurt Cobain had a Jaguar with humbuckers in it, but it was a Jaguar.
Yep.
And I loved one of my absolute favorite looking guitars that I loved the look of from back in, this is in 91, was the blue Jaguar in the Under the Bridge film clip.
Right.
Red Hot Chili Peppers Under the Bridge.
Yeah.
I loved the look of the guitar. That was always I want to get that.
Yeah, cool.
So it was like a Pelham blue or whatever it's called, or I don't know,
slightly darker.
It's sort of that
grey blue
kind of colour with the matching headstock.
Oh, cool! Yeah.
And I always thought all the chrome stuff looked really cool because it's got the chrome bit where the switches are and the chrome where the knobs are. Yeah. I loved the way that looked, and I always wanted one of those.
You should build one with like warm off parts or something.
Maybe
as your nod to your
bucket list kind of thing.
Childhood inspiration,
and I always wanted one like that.
That's cool.
But then Fender for ages,
yeah,
only made the one colour I liked the least in the Jaguars and Jazzmasters for ages too, which is Sunburst.
Right.
For ages you could only get Sunburst.
Okay.
When you could even get it, because I think for a while you could only get Japanese ones.
Okay.
And then they made The other ones I made were red.
Okay.
The sparkly red ones, candy apple red, which I never liked.
I do like, is it Fiesta Red? It's like the Hank Marvin.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's like slightly pinky red.
Well, I really like the, what was it called, mine? The my Jazz Master. It's like a darker red.
Yeah.
I can't even think of what it's called right now. But it's, yeah, I mean, I like red, but there's just some reds I don't like.
Yeah, it's like, it's almost like a primary colour. It's just like,
yeah,
just straight out of the crayon box, it's red.
Red.
Nothing else. But,
So that was sort of a bucket list guitar, and I ended up with a Sunburst one, but just because it was refinished. But
so what other guitars are on the bucket list?
Bucket list? Well,
is it a long list?
Oh, it's probably a pretty long list. The other one I always wanted, and that's something I got into through Sonic Youth then later on, was Jazzmasters. A 58, 59 Jazzmaster, that would be something that I would really love. And I played one in Melbourne at a guitar shop called Guitar Emporium once, and it was great. But it was $12,000 or something. Yeah,
for what? 50, like 50s guitar? That's not too bad.
Well, actually, no, it was $7,900, I think it was. For a 59, I think it was. Really beaten up. Sunburst as well, but really beaten up.
In a cool way or just shit?
Cool, very cool way beaten up, yeah.
Yeah, nice.
In a really nice, all paint stripped kind of way. It played so nice. I always find it funny with brands like Fender, and I mean Gibson's probably exactly the same. You play one of the old guitars, and it's a completely, completely different neck to the reissues. Why can't they make the necks the way they used to make them?
Sure, all right.
Why is it such a big difference? Like I have an Elvis Costello Jazzmaster, which is basically the 62 reissue.
Okay.
I think that's what they are, 62 probably, which is whatever the normal, it's exactly the same basically as the normal US made American vintage whatever they are Jazzmaster.
Yep.
Just in a different colour, really. I think it had a slightly different trim or something like that. I don't know, but it's the same pickup, same everything in the that. But you play that, and you play any of those American vintage reissue. You know, they're up there in price. They're not cheap guitars.
Yeah, yeah.
You play them, and then you play, same thing. You play a 62 reissue Jaguar, and you play my Jaguar.
Yeah,
which is a 62. Completely different neck, not even remotely the same neck.
Yeah, right.
And you wonder, why don't they make the necks the way they were?
True, yeah.
They were so much nicer back then.
Mm.
And all the vintage Fenders and vintage Gibsons I played,
yep,
the necks were great.
This guy I know has a, I think it's a 1970 Tele.
Okay.
Just one of those, you know, the translucent butterscotch cream finishes.
Yeah.
Holy crap, man.
That wasn't even that great of a time. That was already CBS era.
I know, but it's just been played in so nicely. It's great neck on it, and it's...
But, I mean, it's the whole shape of it.
Yeah.
I mean, I get the whole playing in and, you know, all that sort of stuff, but
yeah,
the whole shape of the neck is different.
Actually, I played a good Tele the other day. It was only about 10 years old. But it was one with the mini humbucker in the neck.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And that... This guy brought it into the studio. He's done a lot of gigs with it and had it in England and stuff and back here. And it played really nicely.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of guitars that play really nice, new guitars, but...
But that's that playing it in of, like...
I guess that's part of
400
it,
gigs and, blah, blah, blah.
But it's just, I don't understand it.
Yeah.
Why can't it make things... especially if it's a reissue.
Yeah, sure.
And it's meant to be made to vintage specs.
Yep.
But it's completely different.
It's like a wizard neck or something.
Yeah, it's not even remotely the same. I don't get it. Anyway, that's a different ballgame. So if anyone wants to buy me a 58, 59
Jazzmaster, it's cool.
even with even Sunburst, I actually quite like the Sunburst with the really early ones. Had the anodized, the gold anodized pick cards. I think they look really cool.
Yeah, cool.
And then later they went to tortoiseshell.
Mm.
Anyway, yeah, so that's it. The 62 Jaguar, that's great guitar, plays really nice. Really like it. Actually surprised how much I like the bridge pickup, because everyone goes how bright they are, but
okay.
it's because it's aged, I don't know.
Maybe, yeah.
It sounds great. The neck pickup is almost a bit too dark for me.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah, it's very bassy.
It's very, very bassy and dark, and you've got the strangle switch on it, because a lot of people don't know what all the switches do. So basically, quick summary, you've got the three switches down the bottom of the guitar, pointing down to the bottom of it. So if you're holding the guitar below the strings,
yes.
So, and not below in terms of musical terms where it's your low E and high E, yeah, I'm talking physically.
Closest to the floor.
Closer to the center of the earth.
Oh, I'm with you.
Unless you're doing a handstand.
Or playing upside down, string backwards like Hendrix.
Yes. This is getting complicated. Well, there's three switches on one side anyway.
Yeah.
The three switches, basically all it is you turn, one is for the bridge pickup to be turned on and off, and one is for the neck pickup to be turned on and off. 45 minutes, I think we've got. One turns the bridge pickup on and off, the other one turns the neck pickup on and off, or you can have both on and off. Uh-huh. And then the third switch is what's called a strangle switch.
Yes.
Which is a high pass filter, low pass filter. Which one's the one that does low pass filter?
Well, there's a low pass. What, low frequency?
It gets rid of the low frequencies.
Oh, high pass.
High pass filter. I always get that wrong. It's the opposite, isn't it? Yeah. So the high pass filter. So it kind of gets rid of bottom ends and makes it tinnier.
Gotcha.
And the neck pickup almost sounds better. It's too dark without it on. Anyway, so that's the three switches on the bottom.
Gotcha.
If you hold a guitar in a traditional way, right-handed or left-handed, the way it should be held, right? Standing on your feet with your feet on the ground, I'm talking about the three switches closest to the ground.
Oh, well,
then the other side.
It makes it much clearer.
On the other side. So now, again, if you're standing...
Closest to your head.
It's closest to your head or the sun. If you're standing with your feet on the ground...
During the day.
No gravity boots. Yeah, while the sun is shining. So you have the other side where you have one switch and two roller knobs. Which, that's your rhythm circuit.
Yeah.
So what that one does is... Doesn't matter what setting you have your pickups on. And it's the same on a Jazzmaster, because the Jazzmaster shares that. Doesn't matter what pickup you've got selected.
Yep.
You flick that switch, usually upwards.
Mm-hmm.
Again, upwards towards... Don't worry. You flick it.
Yep.
And then it goes automatically to the neck pickup. Doesn't matter what other pickup is selected.
Right.
Okay. Bypasses the bridge.
Ah.
And it runs through a tone capacitor.
Yep.
Where it actually... So that's more of a high pass now. Sorry, low pass. That's so more of a low pass.
So it gets darker.
Cool. And then you have your own volume and tone control. Mm. So it's got a separate volume and tone control for it. Yeah. That's what the switches do. It's not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
Yes. So going back to it. So the neck pickup on it is almost so dark that it sounds better with the strangle switch on.
Yeah, cool.
Oh, yeah, what we were saying, other guitars on my bucket list.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Got really sidetracked there, sorry.
I forgot about what we're talking about.
So we've got that, we've got the Jazzmaster. I'd love to get a Starcaster.
Yeah.
So,
do they have the full-range humbucker thingies?
They're full-range, yeah. They're sort of, I think it's not quite a humbucker, not quite a single coil. It's sort of a in-between kind of thing. the actual old ones.
Fine. But, yeah, you can... Because we've both put together parts casters from Warmoth and different companies. So would you do one of those as a Starcaster?
Yeah, well, I think I said that last time on the last podcast we haven't released yet.
Oh, yeah.
That
was ages ago. I can't remember.
That's sort of something I would like to do, is build a guitar like those built guitars.
That's right.
BILT, I think they are. Yeah,
they're great, but they're kind of not cheap.
Because it's all custom stuff.
Yeah.
But they have one, I forgot what the model name is, but it's kind of like a Starcaster body with that cool Starcaster headstock.
Yep. That's, I'm coming around to that headstock now.
I think it looks really cool. Yeah. I like the Starcaster headstock. But it's basically like a Starcaster-shaped guitar, but with the Jaguar sort of switching.
Okay.
And the chrome plates.
Mm.
So I probably, if I build one, and I think we talked about that last time, if I build a Starcaster myself,
yeah,
I'd probably see if I can put a Jazzmaster Jaguar trem on it.
Yep.
And then do the kind of switching like on a Jaguar Jazzmaster as well.
Cool. So what pickups would you put in?
Well, I would have said before, I would have said probably a wide range in a bridge and a Jazzmaster pickup in a neck.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking now almost a Jaguar in a bridge,
right,
and a Jazzmaster in a neck.
That sounds cool.
Possibly, I always was toying with the idea of having a single coil and a humbucker really, really close together, right on the bridge.
Sure.
So you can have you get that twangy sort of surf guitar, the twangy low notes of a single coil.
Yep.
But then also have the higher gain on it. What I would really love, actually, if someone could make it, and that's something to talk to a pickup maker, where maybe you have a pickup where the bottom two strings, the low E and the A, are a single coil.
Yep.
But the rest of them are humbucker.
Oh, that'd be cool.
So you get that low note twang.
Yep.
And the clarity. For lead, the clarity of a humbucker and the gain of the humbucker.
Yeah, true. You know what you could do? You could do that Brent Mason thing. We have them close together, but have
like a volume,
a separate
thing,
volume pot for the little single.
Where you blend them, yeah.
We can't.
Well, that's, yeah. I was kind of toying around with the idea of doing something like that, where you,
yeah,
like a really hot humbucker or something.
Yeah.
Because I was even thinking of that when I play lead with distortion.
Yeah.
I'm 99.875% of the time, I'm on my bridge pickup.
Yeah, right.
I'm not really a neck pickup lead guy.
Oh, see, I am, yeah.
And I always liked the idea of, or I always thought, wouldn't it be cool to be able to do something where you have your clean, I'm 90% of the time on my neck pickup, except for when you want to do that twangy or funky, like the Superstition or Play That Funky Music.
Yep.
That kind of legs.
Esque type.
Esque stuff that you go to the, to a bridge single coil, yeah, to like get that
quacky
twang.
Yeah, cool.
But I'd love to have something where you have a guitar where you somehow get the two pickups so close together.
Because,
I mean, the whole coil tab, it never works right,
sure,
to me. But where you have a pickup so close together that you get that twang, but then you can just, with one flick of a switch, you can go to the humbucker there.
Yep.
And it gives you gain and volume boost. So you don't even really need a boost pedal. You just flick to that. And because it's so much hotter of a pickup, it boosts your volume.
What about the P-rails thing?
Yeah, we've got a friend, mutual friend, Ben, who kind of likes them. But I don't know. There's just, I always find when people combine pickups,
yeah,
it, something misses. You're missing out on something.
A bit.
Yeah. You always kind of, there's something kind of.
And Hacker had one in his Ibanez, he souped up too.
Yeah, yeah.
That hollow body thing. I think that kind of the P rails thing, it was cool sounds, but it didn't sound like a.
No, it's its own thing.
Yeah,
it's not thing. Not a. Yeah.
It's like, yeah.
No, I think I'd love to have the same sort of sound that my 62 Jaguar has in the bridge.
Okay.
The same sort of sound that my Jazzmaster, my red Jazzmaster, has in a neck, which I absolutely love.
Cool.
Or any Jazzmaster neck pickup, I really like that. I think that's a great sound, the neck pickup on the Jazzmaster.
Yeah.
But then also have something, you know, in the humbucker style. Or maybe even a really, I mean, possibly, you could possibly, but depends on how much room you need for them, have like a really high output, like a hot rails type, single coil sized humbucker.
With, yeah, just because you get
with
humbucker with
and then have the other pickup really close like next to it,
like humbucker spacing, but two single coils.
Or two separate, completely separate pickups. Yeah,
that might work.
And have it wired in a way where you have a normal three-way switch.
Yeah.
To go between the normal single coil and the neck pickup.
Yeah.
And then have a separate switch that just turns on the humbucker.
Or you could do the volume thing for that.
No, but that's too much work.
Yeah, you don't.
I just want one switch.
Okay.
I want it kind of like the rhythm circuit on the on the Jazzmaster Jaguar, where with one flick of a switch, it goes to always to the neck pickup with its own volume and tone control.
Yeah, cool. Okay.
So my idea is you have a that's sort of what I wanted to do that originally with my Jmascus. But I like my Jmascus too much to bastardize it.
Sure.
Because that's a great guitar. But yeah, anyway.
That's cool.
The idea was to have, a normal three-way selector with volume and tone.
Yeah.
For your, air quotes again, folks, for your two normal pickups.
Yeah.
And then have one switch, you flick it, and you have a separate volume control and tone control. Mm. Where you go to your lead pickup, not rhythm pickup, but lead circuit.
Gotcha.
So you just flick the one switch and it goes to a... You can preset where you want the... And I have roller switches, like on the top thing on the Jazzmaster.
Oh, yeah. Okay, cool.
Where you flick it, so you can have it either lower... You know, you can have the volume down a bit if you want, or tone down a bit if you want it a bit darker.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can have it full up. But you flick the switch, doesn't matter what settings you are on the other pickups, it just goes to that lead pickup.
Gotcha.
Which has just got much more gain and volume.
Hmm. Interesting.
So that's something I always wanted to do.
Got me thinking there. Yeah, cool.
The idea was that originally, that's because I got that Jmascus really cheap, and I thought that'll be my bastardizing experimenting guitar, but I like it too much. I don't want to bastardize it. It's a great guitar.
That's fine. If it's good, it's good, yeah.
That's it.
Doesn't matter if it's Squire or Fender or...
No, exactly right. It doesn't matter. It's great. If anyone wants to get into offsets...
Yeah, true.
Cheap, relatively cheap, and I think a future classic, I reckon...
Mm.
That's going to be one of those...
Be like...
Down the track that I think it's going to...
Like the... Is it E-Series Squires or... No, what are they called? The 80s ones that were great, everyone loves.
Yeah, there's... Yeah, yeah.
What are they called?
Kind of like that, whatever series they wear.
Yeah.
But there's always those kind of... There's some cheap guitar that comes out and everyone goes, oh, that's great.
Yeah.
So anyway, I think the Jmascus is like that. But so that's sort of... That's the idea.
Cool.
Still nothing to do with the bucket list.
Oh, yeah. But, forgot about that.
Yeah. I don't know what else is on the bucket list. I really liked at the music shop where I worked, and I still teach at Music at Noosa. Hello, everyone at Music at Noosa. Not that you're listening, probably, but they had one of the real high-end Japanese-made Gretsch... what's his name? Chad Atkins.
Oh, yeah, nice.
With the fake F-holes... Not the thicker one. It's kind of like
Tennessee Rose.
I don't know which is. It's like a 335 style, the thin body.
Oh, okay.
In a
country gentleman, is it
possibly? Yeah. With the fake F holes in a sort of walnutty kind of brown.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
With that Bigsby with the trem arm has that funny U shape in it.
Is it more like a rod, like steel rod?
It's like a long rod, but it's not straight, but it has like a U-shape in it. With the two... Now, one was a Filtertron and the other one was... It was two different pickups.
Mm.
But that was a nice guitar.
Yeah, cool.
That something like that, like a nice Gretsch.
You know what? There's a Gretsch I missed on eBay. I'm still spewing about. This is about 5 years ago. And... it was, you know, the 6120s, I think it is, the regular Gretsch model that everyone loves, and you know, that's awesome, it's been around forever. It was one of those, but a junior one, so it was like shrunk down to almost Les Paul size, and it was a gold top, and it went for like $1,600 or something.
Wow.
And I just got clipped it.
Like one of the Japanese ones? Or
yeah, one of them.
Oh, cool.
Real good one. And it's, I just missed out like by like $20 on eBay. Someone outbid me like 4.5 seconds ago.
Bastards.
So, yeah. Bastards. One of those would be fantastic.
See, actually, speaking of Gretsch, another one I always wanted, Brian Setzer. Yeah. The orange, none of the new coloured ones.
Oh, that's like new colour.
The orange flame with the dice knob.
Dice heads, right?
That's definitely one on the bucket list. That's one I really like to get.
Is there anyone that doesn't like Gretsch guitars? They're just cool as hell.
Don't know. If you don't like Gretsch guitars, write to us and let us know.
please keep it to yourself. And I think it's best we don't be friends.
No.
But they're
just unique. They're just different. Yeah. And the whole new, the new Streamliner series.
Yeah.
I've played maybe five different ones, but they were all great.
Yeah, cool.
And cheap.
Mm.
But they play really, really good. And look good.
The other thing is, I would like a really nice Les Paul.
See, I've never been a Les Paul guy. What I should add to the bucket list.
But you have to find a good one.
Yeah, well, that's the tricky part. There aren't that many.
No.
What I would like to add onto the bucket list, because it's another guitar I played that just was awesome.
Yeah.
I think it was a 54, 56, something like that, Les Paul Junior.
Ooh.
Double cut, single P90.
Yeah.
With the one I played, the headstock was broken in two places and fixed.
Mm.
This was a Guitar Emporium down in Melbourne again.
We should go there.
It was,
see,
that's
a good place.
Just awesome guitars down there. Man, that was nice.
Mm.
And you'd think with the one pickup, you'd be limited, but just sounded just great. And the neck was fantastic.
Yeah, cool, okay. The other guitar I missed out on, it's a long time ago. It's probably like a late 80s, early 90s G&L A-set.
Oh.
But someone had put a Strat pickup in the middle and a 5-way.
Is that the one that had those weird kind of...
No, not the Z one.
Z shape.
No, it just had like... I think it was like two P90s and a Strat in the middle with a 5-way.
Oh, okay.
And it was one of those guitars that someone had gigged around in bars and stuff.
Bastardized.
For 10, 15 years worth of gigs on it. Just played amazingly. At the time, I had no money, and when I finally had some cash to put a deposit on it for lay-by, I'd gone.
I played...
So I wanted G&L.
What was it called? It was like an M100 or something like that?
Was that like a hot rod Strat thing?
Yeah, it was like just a plain wood. Mm. It looked really plain. Plain wood, two humbuckers.
Yep.
But it was really nice.
Yeah, they're good guitars.
That's one I played ages ago.
They're really good guitars.
Is it M100 or H100? Or it was something 100, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Just a normal, just plain wood.
Okay.
No scratch plate or anything. I think it was just plain wood, two humbuckers. Anyway, that's the only G&L I've played.
Yeah, they are really good guitars. I really like them. So, one of those.
Guitar Emporium just recently had a bit of a claim to fame. Because I think Joe Bonamassa went in there.
Oh, yeah.
And he bought a 64, 65 Jaguar.
Oh, nice.
In surf green with matching headstock, all original, cool. Which was, like, ridiculously expensive.
Yeah.
But he's done a whole bunch of videos now on Facebook playing that guitar because he just toured...
it's just in Australia.
Not that I'm really a fan of his, but...
It turned out a singer I used to play with, she opened for him.
Oh, well, there you go.
Sinead Burgess, yeah.
Small world.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
But yeah, so that Guitar Emporium. Check out Guitar Emporium, people. Great stuff. Every time. It's this tiny little... It looks like you walk into someone's lounge room, but just stacked full of old guitars.
Yeah, cool.
And some really quirky stuff. He had some really weird old Yamahas and stuff, weird shapes and bizarre guitars and
nice.
A bunch of old Moserites. And,
cool. Yep. The other thing I... would like to get is a baritone.
Yeah.
Maybe a Dan Electro one or something. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah. That'd be nice, an old Dan Electro baritone. See, that's another thing I want to do is I want to do a Jazzmaster style baritone.
That could be cool.
But with the trem too.
Or what's the little offset guitars? The Mustang and...
The Mustang.
Jagstang, I think it was like a combo one.
Well, the Jagstang, that was a Kurt Cobain thing. That was a Jaguar Mustang. It's like the top half of a Jaguar, right. The bottom half of a Mustang or something.
There's one other, I think, like a...
They've made a Tornado for a while, Fender.
That's right.
Which was kind of like a shape like that. And a Cyclone as well, Fender Cyclone.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
They were all kind of offsetty sort of versions.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be nice. The pawn shop stuff is great too, if you're into the offset stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a Jaguar Rillo or something like that.
That's recent kind of stuff.
That's recent stuff. Yeah. No, there's tons of cool stuff.
Mm.
I mean.
Yeah. I guess.
Okay, me again, bucket list.
back to you.
60s, 50s or 60s, 335, a nice 335. Nice.
See?
That would be something. Gibson, that's probably.
Yeah.
Don't know. Les Paul Jr. I mean, that one was nice.
Mm.
A nice 335.
I'd like a 339.
Which one's a 339?
Like the Les Paul size 339.
Oh, the smaller body one. Yeah. Yeah.
Just, I don't know. Just, because my dad had a. I think he's still got it. I should see if he's using it. One of the Epiphone Sheratons, like the 90s.
Yeah.
Which is a lovely guitar. That made really well.
The Korean-made ones were great.
Yeah, it's the blonde one with gold. Yeah.
Yeah, and then they made a black ebony-looking one too.
What's
they
that?
They were great.
That New York company that started making stuff in China.
D'Angelico.
They make some cool-looking stuff.
All on the bucket list. Just put some on the bucket list.
It's a long list.
Long, long bucket list.
Before we even get to amps.
Actually, a thin line telly.
Oh, yeah.
That's something I'd like to get.
With humbuckers?
No, the 60s one. The
with the kind of scratch plate.
Yeah, the kind of curvy scratch plate. Yeah. With the two single coils in it. Mm. I've played one and it was great.
Yeah.
I really liked it ages ago.
You don't really... Are you... Telly fan, I think.
Not hugely, not really. No.
Yeah.
I'm not into tellies or strats or Les Pauls. don't know, they never did anything for me. Strats, the middle pickup annoys the crap out of me.
Yeah.
It's just in the way. And I find with strats, the strings are too close to the body.
Okay.
I can't get used to it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like they
are a different animal, strats.
Tellies, I don't know, just never bonded with tellies.
Okay.
And Les Pauls, I never bonded with Les Pauls either.
Hmm.
I wouldn't mind a nice old SG, maybe.
Yeah, me too.
But not a Les Paul.
I thought about getting like just a 90s SG that's been bashed and played around, just to like get something that's kind of cheap but also feels good and has had seen some miles.
Actually, yeah, probably. Another Gibson that would be on the bucket list would be an old Firebird.
Yeah, right, okay.
I just think they look cool. Ooh, and while we're doing weird shaped guitars, see, my bucket list is very long. One of the old original artists series, they were called back in the days, back in the 70s. Mm. Before they called them Ibanez Iceman, the artist series, but then Iceman, Ibanez Iceman. I love that shape. That's such a cool looking shape guitar.
Yeah.
That's another one on the bucket list. But the old artist series, which had, they made a few different ones. They made one with a triple coil pickup, not a dual coil humbucker pickup, but a triple coil. And then they made one with a humbucker that was on rails, so you could move it.
No way, really?
Towards the neck or towards the bridge.
Oh, that's cool.
So you can put it where you want it to be. So it's just a one pickup, but you can move it around.
Why doesn't anyone else do that?
I don't know.
That's great.
And they made one with two humbuckers. And they had these big elaborate tail pieces.
Yeah, cool. Big crane things.
They look great. The artist, I don't know, 2618 or some number like that.
Yeah.
From the 70s. They look awesome.
That's a really good idea about the pickups.
Yeah. You can move it to wherever you want. It looks a bit ugly because you've got a big hole in your guitar.
Yeah.
And wires. And you can just move it to wherever you want it. But, yeah.
Oh, good times.
Speaking of time, how are we going? We're at an hour and 9 minutes. So,
do you reckon they've suffered through it?
Most people have probably switched off by now. to you, one guy who's still listening, thanks for listening.
Congratulations for making it this far.
Well, anything else you want to conclude this with?
It's just us talking about stuff we want to buy, really.
Yeah. So if there's anything you want to share with us that you want to buy, check out our Facebook page.
Check out
our YouTube channel.
Go on the Facebook page and put up your bucket list.
Yeah, tell us what your bucket list is.
Obviously, there's going to be like things like, oh, I want to, you know, 50s telly, and I want a Les Paul that so-and-so
owned. Stereotypical one that everyone wants.
But I'm sure there's like, obviously everyone wants a, you know, gold top Les Paul from the 50s, but...
just to sell it and just to the money.
keep on the wall. But, yeah, like things like old Japanese Yamaha electrics or something quirky like that.
But I love all that old Japanese stuff.
Yeah, which is great.
It's great.
Especially, it comes back to, it was around the studio here. We're just trying to, been really conscious of trying to get unique sounds and, like, especially when recording, to get stuff that stands out. Because everyone else has got a, you know, a Mac with an interface at home recording guitars these days. So.
Yeah. Hang on, I'm just trying to, I'm just looking it up just to see what that is. Here they are. The art is 2663.
Can I look? Picture.
We have a bigger picture there. Is there a bigger picture somewhere? Is that a bigger picture? Can you click on that? Vintage Ivanis. Oh, here you go. That's the one.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Hang on, I'll show you guys too.
Did you enjoy that? Yeah, cool.
Yeah, so it's like a...
not that ugly.
No, but it's just a big hole, basically, cavity. In the guitar.
It's black, though. The cavity's black, so it doesn't...
But yeah, these are the three... Can you make them bigger? Just so you can see it anyway.
Yeah.
That's the three models. Before they were actually called Ibanez Iceman.
Mm-hmm.
And they made one with just, a triple coil pickup, then one with the two humbuckers and one with the movable humbucker. So it's
That's fantastic.
1975 Ibanez 2663 TC triple coil, then 2663 and a 2663 SL.
Sliding,
maybe. Yeah. I think they just look great.
Yeah, cool.
Because that's one of the problems with the Iceman.
You've got the Paul Gilbert thing.
The Fireman, which is upside down. Which should really, because he said it's upside down, so it's the opposite. So it's what's the opposite of Iceman, Fireman? Should really then be Firewoman, shouldn't it?
Or Water Woman.
Yeah. Anyway. I always loved the Iceman. I thought that's a great looking guitar. But they only make him in solid colours, and that you can see the wood through, it's translucent. I always like to see wood grain. I'm a wood grain kind of guy.
Yeah. A friend of mine only likes black guitars.
See, I don't know.
That's boring as hell.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'll play electric guitars to be extravagant and noisy and.
I think probably the
stand out, isn't
it? I mean, I'd get a black guitar if it's just if I like it.
Yeah.
But I think my least favourite colours.
Default colour of something, it just plays amazingly.
My least favourite colours, if I could choose a colour, would be sunburst and black.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, then there's the total opposite spectrum when you look at all the fluorescent 80s guitars.
Yeah.
I definitely wouldn't go for any of that.
No.
But
this is a nice sunburst because of the lovely quilted maple top.
Yes, that you can see everyone.
I'm showing Gabor. This is a Warmoth build, and it's a jazz caster.
And he's used it in quite a few of the demos, seen it.
But
if you check out our demos.
It's a tobacco-y kind of sunburst with the natural binding of the timber, which I love. I love binding on guitars.
Well, that sort of burst is all right.
But you can see the quilt of maple through the burst, so it's...
No, but that's sort of right. The ugly one is the old Fender one, which is like black, red, yellow.
Yeah, the three-tone. Like,
that three-tone.
And then it just goes to older or something. That's
horrible.
That boring.
That's the ugliest of all. People who love Sunburst, and I guess you have to because Stevie Ray's was Sunburst originally, so you have to love us.
Here
love
it is. Sunburst.
There you go. That's hideous. I've got my I think I use it in one or two demos too. I've got my 64, 5, 6 somewhere there Gibson Melody Maker.
Oh, right, yeah.
Which has a burst like that, which is the most horrible, ugliest burst. When it goes from really black to really red to really yellow.
Yeah, it's like three lines of colour.
Yeah.
This is a 77 Greco Strat from Japan. So it's kind of, I don't know, it's got a little bit of street cred because it's old in the 70s.
Yeah, I mean, it's
a thing.
Like, again, if someone gives it, and I mean, my Jaguar is that.
Yeah, sure.
you know, it doesn't bother me, but it's just, if I have the choice,
yeah,
I'm not going to pick that. Because that's, to me, that's...
You're buying a new one.
I'm buying, if I buy a new guitar, if I get a guitar made, or if I make a parts guitar, and I can choose what colour I want, that's, Sunburst is probably the last. I'd probably go hot pink over Sunburst.
Speaking of pink, do you like the shell pink, the 60s pastelies?
Some look good.
Yeah.
I like the... I was
looking at doing a telly in that.
I like the new road-worn flea bass.
Yeah, I think you mentioned that.
That's a shell pink, but it's like an... It's not a sort of bright new... It's
like super faded.
It's super faded. It's like almost white.
Yeah.
But that looks quite cool, I reckon.
That's, yeah.
I'm not huge on all that pink. There's another podcast that I listen to a lot, the Gear Nerds, which I think is great, by the way, great podcast. You should all go and listen to it, or whoever you, the one person that listens to this, is go and listen to it. But they always go on about they love like pink sparkle and pink this. All this stuff has to be pink, and they love the color pink. I don't know. It's not my sort of thing.
Nah.
No. And I think they have like a one of them has like a shell pink Les Paul.
Really?
Then they have like a pink paisley Strat.
Or I actually like or I like the pink paisley, like the Japanese tellies and stuff.
But I mean, a lot of their stuff is pink, and it's one of them just bought a pink, like a limited series Strat or something.
Yeah.
With two humbuckers, that was like a pink sparkle. Wow. Sparkle. And I don't know why I always say that, but yeah, I don't know, not my thing.
Sure.
Not my thing. Mm. I really like lately actually white. Yeah. I never thought I would, but white I like as a guitar. And especially if you're looking at like a Strat or like a Fender style guitar with a minty, like a slightly mint green
pickup. Antique white kind of. Like slightly, not cream, but on that.
No, like the white, really? I think it's Arctic white.
Really?
But with that mint green sort of pickguard.
Sure.
But then the pickups aren't mint green. I think to me, especially on a Strat, not that I really like Strats, but I think Strats look better when the pickguard and the pickups aren't exactly the same colour. Mm. I'm just being pedantic now. But
yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so we were going to finish this off ages ago because we're now going to an hour 17 minutes. So, well, thank you to Gavin for listening.
Both listeners.
So hopefully we're going to do a bit more of this now, and hopefully this is actually going to go up soon now. So we're in sort of mid-October now, and yeah. I know I've been talking about the podcast for a good year now.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully it'll actually happen now soon.
Yeah.
And then we're going to do this on a sort of semi-regular basis where we just talk about crap like we did today.
Mm. And get some more guests in and talk about their setups and gear and how they approach
things. And we've had a few people already request that we do rundowns of our rigs.
Mm. Might do that
without calling it
a video.
Running down rigs, because you could probably get in trouble for that. But gear look overs.
Yeah.
We look at our live rigs and what we use, and yeah, maybe even do a little studio tour here at Alex's studio.
Yeah, why not?
Check it all out, and yeah. So please make sure to subscribe, tell your friends and families, and tell their friends to tell their friends and families, and so on and so on. And yeah, we're hopefully going to do more of these podcasts. Hopefully you like them. Give us a review also on iTunes. Not that I've actually registered with iTunes yet, but if you do listen to this in the future on iTunes,
it means we've worked it out.
Maybe leave us a review, and go to our Facebook page. All the links should be written somewhere around this general area of where you're listening to this. And let us know what you think, let us know what you want us to do, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. And thank you for listening.
Cool. Thanks, guys.
And all that stuff.
See you all next time.
Cue music.
Nice.